Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
10-106, now sitting second in the Eastern Conference with a 10-5 record. Pistons have a 12-2 record to lead the way. Let's get more insight on the Cavs and what's going on. We turn to our good friend Chris Fedor from Cleveland.com and the Plain Dealer. He is on the fan hotline. Hi, Chris. How are you?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. I'm doing great. How are you?
Good afternoon to you. All right, let me start with the pressing question from last night, because I think all Cavalier fans are sitting here trying to figure this out. You know, it's just the whole... What was up with those stupid creamsicle jerseys, dude? I hate those. I'm by myself, I think, on this. Do you like those?
You going with creamsicle?
A creamsicle.
I was kind of going with cantaloupe.
Oh, that's strong. Creamsicle was what went through my mind first when I was watching the game last night. So are you down with it? What do you think the general reaction is to the creamsicle jerseys or the cantaloupes?
I think they're fine. They've had worse ones. I'll put it that way. A couple of years ago, I didn't love the ones that they come out with. I thought in person, I went in the locker room before the game because I wanted to see them in person.
Mm-hmm.
They were pretty striking. I was kind of taken aback by them. But when you're sitting where we are in the media section, kind of at the top of 104 or something like that,
mm-hmm.
It didn't feel as bad to me, especially combined with the court. I thought the court looked good, and I didn't feel like... the jerseys were as striking as they were in the locker room. So, again, I don't think they're going to win awards for best city edition jersey.
True.
But I don't think they're going to come in last for worst city edition jersey either. So they were just fine to
it's
me.
It's just, I'm going to be honest, and we'll get to real basketball. It's just, I get annoyed. Like, I keep thinking if someone's watching, they're from out of town. And, like, I was watching last night's game on Peacock, and it's just like, the land and this and that. And I'm sure that, like, you have to do a double take if you live somewhere else. You're like, oh, the land is playing tonight if you don't see any of the players first, right? I'm not a big fan of the land. I'm not a big fan of those jerseys either. So I've just made my...
Hey, you got to get hip with it, man.
I'm not
the
hip, and that's the problem.
Now.
I'm lame. I know. It's been since LeBron, right? Didn't LeBron kind of get it going?
I think.
Yeah, it's been that long. All right, I'll turn the page. I'm sure Jeff feels the same way as I do, so... We don't need to dwell on this anymore, but I was craving creamsicles the whole game. So
I actually thought it was interesting because I was talking to people with the organization before the game, and I said, are you kind of playing off the fact that you go to Sarasota for training camp? They were like, what do you mean? And I said, I don't know. It looks like a sunset. It looks like a beach theme.
Mm.
I know that Cleveland has the water. I know that Cleveland has the lake, and it's got cool beaches and stuff like that. And they were going for the whole sunset. And the sunset last night, by the way, was beautiful because it kind of correlated with the jerseys, if we're honest about it.
Well done.
And I said, this is what it looked like when you were handing out shirts for training camp down in Sarasota, like that sunset in the background. Are you playing into that? And they're like, no comment.
Oh. That's,
I don't know if it plays into that or anything.
All right, let's talk basketball.
I think it's a bad sign when you can't figure out what the actual color is.
Amen, brother. Amen.
That's kind of a valid point. Cavs have played 15 games. Darius Garland has played in three of them. I was a little surprised he actually came back as early as he did, Chris, and now he's out again. Is he okay long-term here?
Yes, he's okay long-term.
Okay.
I think there are a couple of things. I think, number one, this was a fluky thing where he banged his toe against the toe of Nikola Jovic. But I think the other part of that is Darius is going to have to learn that sometimes he's going to bump his toe, and it's going to be painful. And it's not always, let's flash back to last year when something was significantly wrong with my toe and it required surgery. Like, there's going to have to be an understanding from him that this is a difficult injury to play through. This is a difficult injury to come back from. There are probably going to be setbacks, and there are probably going to be moments of pain that he feels, and that doesn't mean that that pain is going to lead to surgery. And I think it's going to have to be a mental hurdle that he needs to clear in order to play through this and be effective through this injury as well. But the fact that they labeled it a contusion as opposed to a sprained toe or any kind of ligament issue, all signs are good on that front. He's supposed to do some five-on-five work at some point this week. That's a big step in terms of his recovery and getting back onto the court. But, you know, the night that it happened, you could see the fear on Darius's face. You could see the frustration on his face. And you could see the concern, and you could sense the concern inside the organization. So even though he has missed some time here, and even though there is no general idea of when he's actually going to come back and play in a game, is it going to be tomorrow against Houston? Is it going to be Friday? Is it going to be Sunday? Even though they don't have that yet, that kind of clarity, the fact that it was labeled a contusion and that's all that the scan showed, I think everybody inside the organization was able to breathe a sigh of relief.
Chris, what is a slog, and why does that represent this team so well? I'm just giving it everyone. Well, that's Kenny his headline today in his story.
Well, Kenny Atkinson couldn't figure out if it was slug or slog, and he kind of went back and forth. And I had flashbacks to John Beilein, which
yeah, let's
was
not
a
do
dangerous,
that.
Dangerous yes. thing. And that was a bad time for the organization, a very dark time for the organization. But I think it's a fitting term for how this team is playing. And it's hard, right? Because they're 10-5. They're second place in the Eastern Conference. They're tied for third in point differential in the Eastern Conference. But they're under a microscope this year. And I think the way that you're perceiving this team based on everything that happened last year in the playoffs, based on the fact that they couldn't get out of the second round again, based on the fact that so many of their guys in the aftermath of that loss against Indiana were talking about not enough mental toughness, do we have what it takes to win a championship, all these different things, the regular season really doesn't matter to us when it comes to wins and losses, like all these different things that they said in the aftermath of it, you are going to look at them through a harsher lens. I think, because what you want to see from the Cavs, and if you're watching this team, you want to believe that they belong in the conversation with Oklahoma City and Denver and Minnesota and Houston and any of these other teams that you consider championship-level teams, championship contenders. And it's hard to say in the first 15 games, and I know it's only 15 games, and I know that there are circumstances that the Cavs are dealing with, but it's hard to say in the first 15 games that the Cavs do belong in that conversation, just based on what we've seen from them. So I think Kenny Atkinson has set a specific standard. This organization has set a specific standard. And there haven't been enough nights that he feels like this team has met or exceeded that standard. He's talked about the offense being clunky. He's talked about the spacing being a problem. He's talked about different lineups, different combinations, different guys missing in and out of the lineup, stops and starts. He's talked about the growing pains and it's a process and all that kind of stuff. But something feels off with this basketball team that is keeping them from, you know, playing to a level that Kenny Atkinson would consistently consider good enough based on the talent that they have on this roster.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Chris Fedor joining us from the Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com covers the Cavaliers. You hear him here on The Fan as well. The young guys, I think, need to step up this year for the team, and I think some of them have. Jalen Tyson, what have you thought in year number two?
I think he's been good. I think the things that the Cavs are asking of him, he has shown that he's capable of. And this is a very different situation for somebody like Jalen Tyson. If you go back to his final year in college, he was everything for Cal. He led them in points, rebounds, assists. He was a high-usage player. The ball was in his hands constantly. He got as many shots as he wanted to take. He comes to a team that has championship aspirations, that is a very deep and talented team, and he's not in that role. That's not who he's going to be early in his career in the NBA. He's going to have to find his way to make an impact in different facets, and I think he's done that. He's picking up dudes full court. He's playing with a level of intensity and aggression and physicality. He's knocking down open threes. He has found a way to slide into a specific role and do a lot of the junkyard dog type things that the Cavs need from somebody like him, because he's not going to get a bunch of shots. He's not going to get a bunch of touches. He's not going to get a bunch of opportunities to break guys down off the dribble. He has to blend into the fabric of the team. And I feel like he's done that. Sometimes it's starting, sometimes it's coming off the bench. And he has shown himself, the comparison that Donovan Mitchell brought up to me about a week ago when we were talking about Jalen, was Josh Hart of the New York Knicks, Royce O'Neal, Donovan's teammate from the Utah Jazz, just that guy who does a little bit of everything that helps the basketball team win and can blend into a variety of lineups. Jalen has done that, and I give him a lot of credit for that. And I think for them, any kind of consistent scoring that they get, any kind of consistent shot making that they get when fully healthy is going to be a bonus. But can you bring the effort defensively? Can you pick guys up full court? Can you do the little things? And he has shown an ability to do that. And that's early in his career, that's how he's going to have to make his mark. So I give him a lot of credit for that.
Chris, kind of look into your crystal ball a little bit with Jared Allen and where they see him, where they think they're going with this thing. Because, I mean, you're looking at the money that he's owed. He's going to be this year is like 16.8% of the cap. I'm just looking at Spotrac. He's like 17%. I'm curious what you think about the way the rest of the season is going to play out for him and the future.
This is a very tricky conversation, guys, because I've spent the last 2.5 weeks talking to as many people inside the organization about Jarrett and his value for a feature that I'm working on. But it comes down to this to me.
Okay.
The way that they talk about Jarrett is not how they treat him. Does that make sense?
Yes.
They talk about him being this core four member. They talk about him being integral to their success. When he's on the court versus when he's off the court, that differential is striking. When he's in the lineup versus when he's out of the lineup, their win-loss record, that differential is striking as well. But they don't use him that kind of way, and they don't treat him that kind of way. So all these different guys will say, hey, he's our rock, he's our glue, he's the brains of the core four. And then he doesn't see a minute in the fourth quarter. And then he plays only 20 to 25 minutes. So if he is one of your four most important players, if he is one of your four best players, why doesn't this coach play him more? Why isn't he treated that kind of way? Why doesn't he get more touches? Why isn't he more involved offensively throughout the course of the game. And I know everybody has their own role, and Jarrett can find a way to impact the game with his energy, with his screen setting, with his rebounding, with his rim protection, and all those little things that made Jarrett Allen a member of this core four. But when he can't play in the fourth quarter, or you go away from him consistently and repeatedly in the fourth quarter, you have to ask yourself, are you maximizing his value? And then you have to ask yourself, is there a way that we could maximize his value in a different kind of way? So I think these are all legitimate questions that the Cavs are asking. I think they're all legitimate questions that a lot of people around the league are asking as well. But there's also the other layer to this, right? If you want to go down the path of, would the Cavs be better off trading Jarrett Allen at the deadline? You have to have that conversation with the understanding that there are so many salary cap limitations that the Cavs are dealing with. They are the only second apron team in the NBA right now, and that makes any kind of trade very, very difficult, whether it's Jarrett, whether it's Dean Wade, whether it's Jalen Tyson, whoever you want to throw out on this roster. I mean, you're talking about matching salary for salary down to the penny. You're talking about not being able to aggregate salaries and trade away multiple players and all these different restrictions that come with the Cavs being a second apron team. So it may be just a situation where Jarrett's role is just what it is. And it's probably not like what the Cavs seem to say that it is. And he's probably just going to have to understand that and deal with that. Because if the Cavs are going to play a one big lineup, especially at the end of games, guys, that one big is not going to be Jarrett Allen. They have shown that. That one big is going to be Evan Mobley, who is the most important player to whether or not the Cavs win a championship. So I think anytime you have a core four or a big three, you have some guys who are more important than others within that. And it's clear to me, based on everything that happened last year and what we've seen in the first 15 games of the core four, Jarrett is the quote-unquote most expendable one if the Cavs ever get to that point.
Chris,
that's how they treat him.
Yeah, when do we see the expanded version of this story? How long until we check it out? A couple days here? Or what are you thinking?
No, probably in the next couple of weeks. I'm still doing a lot of reporting on it. And I also have to get a real grasp on who Jarrett is for this team, because I think we're still trying to figure that out, and I think the Cavs are still trying to figure that out. It can't just be, you know, words. At some point, you have to back up those words, and it just doesn't feel like at the beginning of the season that the Cavs are doing that when it comes to Jarrett.
All right, Chris, thank you. As always, we appreciate your time and your perspective on the Cavaliers. And we're reading every day at Cleveland.com and The Plain Dealer. Thanks, my friend.
You got it, guys.
Anytime. Thanks, buddy.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Chris Fedor, nice enough to join us on the Fan Hotline, 216-474-0092. Two big points coming out of that. One, what did you think of his thoughts on Jarrett Allen and his future with the team? And two, thumbs up, thumbs down, or whatever on those creamsicle jerseys the Cavaliers were wearing last night. In their big win over the Bucks. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.